Requiem for a Moth was presented by Martin Wainwright. The programme was produced by Ian Chambers, and it's a Just Radio production for BBC Radio 4. David Tennant heads the cast of a new comedy in a moment. The Go-Betweenies is about two North London siblings who divide their time between determinedly hands-on yet separated parents. Before that, though, I'm joined by Peter White with details of you and yours in 35 minutes. Peter.
Thanks, Diana. Judging by Apple's first quarter profits of £3.6 billion, everyone loves an iPad. But is there a hidden human cost to all this super technology? We'll be examining accusations of excessive working hours and a harsh managerial regime in a factory in southern China where they're made. On a morning full of aviation news, has the provincial city airport got a fight for survival on its hands? We'll be looking at Plymouth as a case in point. And if you think job centres specialise in jobs in burger restaurants and care homes, how about a situation vacant advertised at £100,000, and the chance to travel the world? Race you to the counter. Join me just after midday.
Thanks, Peter. This is BBC Radio 4.
The Go-Betweenies by Marcella Evaristi. Episode 1, Meet the Millers.
Hey, Dad.
No, she's still not here. You have to tell her.
I will, but hey, you know, there is no lateness on planet Lucy. It's a world with no clocks. Just mirrors. Many, many mirrors.
And a Katie in it.
Mirrors, Katie, and lip balm to protect those girls from the desert heat of Highgate. I miss you so much.
Do you?
Are you kidding? I'd have you here every single weekend again. That didn't really work out.
I know. It's all right. Don't worry.
I'm not worried. Mum and I are working on it. We'll sort it out before your gap year, I swear.
Good. Dad, you know the Georgian dot lunchboxes?
Yeah.
Do you think you can still see that it's me on them?
No. Well, less and less every day. Hardly at all. They still make you nervous, eh?
A bit.
Tell me.
It's fun, really.
Well, you know, it's great that you inspired Mum to invent the adventures of Georgian dot. I mean, that's fantastic. She just never thought through the merchandise thing.
The thing is, you never know how it's going to go.
Right.
When they see that it's my face on the side of the Georgian dot lunchbox, when they realise that's me, Georgie.
Yeah, that would make me nervous too, given what happened. But that little creepy bully juice history, eh? You survived him like a superhero.
Malcolm wasn't little.
I know, baby.
He jumped up and down on it, on the lunchbox, and then on my actual face.
Little bastard. Wasn't that bad a likeness?
Ha ha, very funny.
This won't last, you know? I mean, you're not going to look like Georgie for much longer. It won't be long before you have this fuzzy upper lip and you'll be, you know, disfigured with acne and everything. I promise you, in about 5 minutes, you're going to be practically unrecognisable.
I'm going to be 10 next week. What do you mean, 5 minutes?
I just mean the time passes quickly.
Not when you're waiting for Lucy to come and collect you. You never told Mum, did you?
About being teased about the Georgie thing?
Yeah.
No, of course I didn't. You made me promise.
She just get, you know.
I know. Oh, I know how she gets.
Hey, hello, beautiful.
I'm sorry to disturb you. Lucy grabbed my keys again. I need your set. Oh, you shouldn't be here. I know you haven't finished the ending. You have industrial earmuffs on.
To block out the world. Apart from my girl. Keys are right here. But I love you for interrupting me.
It's very sexy having to withhold my lust all the time.
For my generation, that wasn't as much fun as you think. Come here. You look about 12 standing there with your lunchbox.
Ah, that 20 years age gap makes me feel so young. But you know, I still worry the kids are too recognisable from this picture on the side here. What do you think?
Your illustrations? No. They're far too stylized to be a problem. I love them. I love you.
Oh.
Mimi, I have no idea how to finish this play. This last act is killing me. I'd love you to read it, but there's not time for anything. Hey, where are you going?
Oh, I'm doing a reading at the bookshop round the corner. I used to work there part-time when I was writing my book on Samuel Beckett.
Ah, now there's an author that's hard to get the merchandise right for.
Oh, I don't know. Little Tramps, A Dolly in a Dustbin. Where's Godot, you know, as in Where's Wally?
Jeez, I married a woman who can even popularise the absurd. And who made me want to get married again.
Oh, no, oh, God.
What's wrong?
Lucy's here.
That's good.
No, that's bad. Bye-bye.
But
don't don't come near me. I don't know you, okay?
How was your day, Mon Petit Omelette?
Take that off your head.
Come on then, do you want to carry some of my stuff? The weight of all this is making me walk very slowly.
Give it to me. Go on, I'll carry your stupid stuff if you just start walking fast. Please!
Okay, take my tuba then.
Ugh! Why have you got a rubber fish head on your head?
Isn't it great?
Take it off or else.
Or else what?
Or you'll be very sorry.
Because you'll do what?
I won't let you hide your energy drinks in my treehouse anymore. No more buzzy buzzy.
Why are you so cross? If someone's been mean, just say the word. What's wrong with you?
No one's been mean to me. I don't know anyone yet at this place. And I've just been collected by a fish head girl. Why have you got that on?
I wish Miss Evans was here.
I wish she was too, instead of me.
No, I mean to explain it. She explained it so well. The strange world that is surrealism.
Don't slow down.
It's all like, you look in the mirror and what you see is the back of your own head.
The back of your own head has got great big green scales down it. Shame that, because I was hoping to make some pals here, you know?
Don't fret, Tomlet.
Hello, I'm new. Would you fancy a sleepover at mine? This is my sister, Fishface. Come home and meet the rest of the tank.
I want you to help me with my surreal images project tonight.
Oh, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it if you promise right now to take that thing off.
Deal. And listen, the second Mum tries to go off and find a book about the surrealists, you just follow me upstairs quick, okay?
Okay. Funny how she does that. Anything at all you ever want to talk about, it's bingo! She's off to get a book.
Drives me bloody mental.
Nick Moore!
Lucy, why does Tom have a small model train stuffed halfway inside his mouth?
Nick Moore!
Oh, this is great. Tom, don't move. This is unbelievable. What a great shot.
Lucy!
Tom, keep holding up the carriage like your mouth is the tunnel. You open wide. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, no, that's enough. He's gagging.
And the train is chugging right into his little face in a world without logic. It is for my homework. We're being all helping each other out like Georgie and Dot. Hello.
Hello. Tom's not your slave.
Or bitch, either, tell her.
Lucy, your history essay about women's suffrage is due on Monday. It's on the table here, and I don't trust you to finish it at your dad's.
But this is homework I'm doing now for my surrealism project, and I'm loving it. What about that Salvador Dali and his wife, eh?
His wife?
His wife Marguerite. What a crazy pair.
Oh, just a minute. I've got a marvellous book about Miro and his contemporaries.
Bingo!
What's wrong with you two?
Nothing. Mum, Lucy met me at the school gate with a rubber fish head on and she was late.
Oh, Lucy, don't leave the boy hanging about.
Is that it?
Just imagine if Marguerite married Dali before he went and grew his big mad moustache. I would have divorced just for doing that.
Please don't ever divorce for shallow reasons. Marguerite is a man. Look, here's a photo of them all on a balcony in the 20s.
Yeah, fine.
You know, I took both my divorces very seriously. Now, here's the essay. You left it in...
I'll read it to you.
Lovely. Here, I've made scones. Tom, get the jam.
The suffrage movement in Edwardian England. Have you ever heard about the famous B-Day? Miss Evans showed us. It's probably in that book.
What?
You know, the famous B-Day that completely changed the face of modern art.
It was a urinal. Now start.
A urinal?
Yes, Tom, a urinal. It belonged to a chap called Duchamp.
Right. Oh, I'm quite lucky, really. I could have been collected by a fish that was carrying a urinal. I could have ended up carting it home along with her tuba.
Lucy, I want to see how far you've got with this. And then Dad can check it over when you're at Dominique's.
It's Dad and Dominique's. Oh, it is more her house, though, isn't it?
No, well...
It's got a totally her house feel to it.
But it's completely his house, too. She's a designer, and that's why her stamp is on it. Maybe more than his.
I don't think Dad stamped on it at all.
No, I meant... Oh, you two. He and Dominique are terrific together, and they're business partners, and they're happy, and it's just great. Harry and I were just saying that today.
Is Harry in the country, then?
Of course he is.
Oh, I thought he was abroad still.
No, he's just been holed up in his office stroke flat in Gospel Oak. Once he's finished the play he's writing, he'll have the time to properly move in here, hopefully before our first wedding anniversary.
So what's his play about, then?
It's about a painful marriage in a family where these children are manipulated and poisoned against one of the parents.
Deep.
Yeah, but it's a comedy, you know, to show there's no bitterness.
Can we go and see it?
Of course. It's going to be produced in London.
Cool.
You know, kids,
Not every divorced couple ends up like your dad and I, you know?
With all the remarrying?
With the remaining deeply fond of each other.
But Dominique and Jean-Claude are really good friends.
Not off. No, that's absolutely right, Tom. In fact, I think Dominique and Jean-Claude are even friendlier than Joe and I. I quite a big soupçon.
Dear Dominique, I can't do this anymore. No, that's too melodramatic. She'll think I'm talking about us, about the marriage and not the job. Delete. Dear Dominique, I am writing to resign from your company. I owe you so much. You are a wonderful stepmother to Lucy and Tom and an inspired visionary interior designer, aesthete style blazer. I am bursting with pride as I sit here in our dining room. You in Paris and me perched on Jean-Claude's glass chairs. How is Jean-Claude? I sound a bit sarky. My bottom is numb. I have insincere buttocks. Delete. Dear Dominique, you are a design genius. Your interiors are thrilling. I am dying inside.
15, 16, 17, 18.
Tom,
19,
sweetheart,
20,
it doesn't matter if we don't all get exactly the same number of sultanas in our scones.
Get off my scone!
Wait, Lucy, I can't count the sultanas properly till I've sliced the scone down the way as well as across.
I don't want scone rubble because of your nutso counting.
Just think everyone should get the same number.
Lucy, keep going.
So, this is the unbelievable story of how the brave women fighting for the vote got force-fed and trampled on by racing stallions while the bastards just laughed and put bets on who would finish this obscene race.
Whoa!
There was no whoa going on. Oh, no. Onwards raced the trampling hooves, but the women shouted through the banging batons, "Liberty and freedom will come, you bastards!"
Oh, please. Please, enough with the stallions and the bastards. Have you read the source material?
Now, I'd like to read you my haiku about feet binding.
Can't
you keep to...
See the small Chinese ladies go, hobble, hobble. Small Chinese ladies with small Chinese feet because of cruel feet binding.
Lucy.
Oh, womanhood. No votes, no freedom, and shuffly feet. Run!
Stop!
It's unbelievable what's been done to the females of our gender, isn't it? Imagine foot-binded suffragettes running for freedom from the Chinese Wall to the Holloway Road. I wish I could time travel back in history and hand them out flippers to lengthen their strides. God, that's quite surreal.
It is indeed.
I'm working on a Dada dance for Miss Evans. Holloway Prison's just down the road, isn't it? What?
Lucy... Can you see why Miss Mason writes me notes? Concerned notes about how distracted you get in her class?
No, really. Don't worry. Absolutely everybody gets those notes.
Yet I do worry, Lucy. I do.
Even Katie gets those notes. And Katie is, you know...
Well-balanced?
As good at history as I am at art, I was going to say.
Why do you think Miss Mason writes those notes, then?
She's an unhappy woman, Mama. A woman tragically too sad to buy the right bra size. Miss Mason's got foursome bosom syndrome. You know, when the bra's too tight and too small. The double bubble. Talk about distracting.
Poor Miss Mason.
I know.
59.
Please, would you give the little freak his own bag of sultanas?
I don't want a bag. I just want us to have the same number each.
Tom, sweetheart... Please, can you tell me what it feels like to be counting out like that?
It just feels like the right thing to do.
Does it? Do you think maybe it's something you'd like to chat to Pamela about?
Do you think maybe I could share Tom's appointment so I could ask about my insomnia?
I think you may well have an unusual strain of insomnia.
I thought that, actually.
Yeah, one that gives rise to intense levels of snoring.
Dear Dominique, you have an amazing eye. I know why clueless people would want you to do up their houses. I really do. Your recent Jackson Pollock-inspired range of rugs is as vibrant as a car crash. Oh, no. No, that's how he died. Delete. Simply vibrant. I'm imagining you reading this. I see your face. You're tracing the arc of your classy eyebrow in a weary gesture. I think I am writing about our marriage shit, as well as the job. I can't do this anymore. But I need to. I need the salary. Lucy needs the orthodontics. But I wish I could convince Mimi that Tom doesn't need the therapy. Oh. Ugh. Dear Dominique.
Hi.
Hey, there you are, Joe. Sorry I didn't have time to do lunch. You sounded so frantic.
I have to talk to you.
But this is good. You can help me pick Tom's birthday cake. Buttercream, not ganache.
Shut up, Mimi. Listen. I feel like there's a slab on my chest, pressing down all the time they're gone. And a stopwatch ticking every second of every second weekend that they're with me. My God, how did it become every second weekend?
Do you want to rejig the arrangement? Well, the trouble is, your place in queue is so far out.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I underestimated the distance. It was all done for them, and now I don't get to see them.
Calm down. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. No, we did the Bart Simpson cake at ours last year. Mm. The ladybird?
Too sweetie girly. What brought all this on?
Not bloody seeing them, becoming once a fortnight dad.
It was easier when they couldn't argue.
Oh, wasn't it? It was great. And we could cart them around like podgy parcel. Right, listen to me, I sound like you.
What, overprotective and nostalgic?
Yeah, all of that. You're a lovely mother and smart, award-winning children's fiction writer, making a fortune. Only thing I ever won was the Betty Ford Award for Serial Blackout.
I am incredibly proud of you. You fixed yourself while you still had your looks and your nostrils. That's not something to be sniffed at. Come on, I'm messing with you.
The one thing in my life that I knew in my bones I would never let happen, I let happen. The sad daddy drift away. I'm scared you've changed about us sharing the kids.
No. No, I swear, I don't know why you'd say that.
Well, you're a transformed person with this great, late-discovered talent for storytelling.
I'm 37, it's not that late.
And with your frankly excessive infatuation with your new alpha husband.
He is a bit of a trophy.
Oh, don't be stupid, he can't be a trophy. Not at his age. Okay. Tarnished trophy. Vintage.
Burnished. Harry's kind of burnished.
So, as much as ever, hypothetically, you are still in favour of the idea of Tom and Lucy to-ing and fro-ing between us.
I promise. Oh, look at the bunny cake. Oh, with the marzipan carrot. Oh, I know it's a bit babyish, so I'm thinking he might put up with babyishness in a bunny when he would feel infantilized by a teddy bear or a puppy dog cake, you know?
Mimi, listen to yourself. But yes, I agree. Go for it.
I'm sorry it's been so horrible, you missing them. We'll fix it.
Thank you.
You know, you and I have started great new life chapters. Me and Harry, you and Dominique. And since I've replaced my medication with yoga, I think I trust the future more.
Yay, you're actually on time and with your own ugly head on.
Well, it's your birthday tomorrow, so I thought I'd keep you sweet.
What's that?
It's a merit certificate for my Dada dance. I wore flippers and played the tambourine, and Katie howled in the background to the tune of Greensleeves.
Random.
Miss Evans said surreal was the only word for it.
You know something?
What?
I haven't sleepwalked in ages.
You're lucky. My insomnia is a nightmare.
If I stop sleepwalking, do you think Mum will stop taking me to talk to Pamela?
I'll tell you something. That counting thing you do...
What about it?
It weirds her out.
No, it doesn't.
Hi, this is Harry. Can't get to the phone right now, but leave a name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hello, my darling. It's all right. I didn't expect you to answer. I just wanted to clock in. I hope the last act is resolving itself. Oh, I can't wait for you to finish and we can start our life together properly. And the children can discover what a brilliant stepfather I found them. Can't wait to see you tomorrow for Tom's... Okay, I'm coming.
Oh.
My God, when did I say to you? Could you not find a space nearby? You're soaked.
I haven't got the car.
In fact, I haven't got a car.
You're all juddery. What's going on? Nice tux, by the way.
I'm sitting there at the design awards, and I'm watching Dominique go up and collect her award, and I clap and clap, but I can feel my heart pounding. And then I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong life. And Dominique looks like a movie star, but it's not my movie. And she came back and sat down, and I told her it was over. And she did her eyebrow thing, and then I came straight here on the bus to tell you all I'm back.
Daddy? Hey, Daddy, what are you doing?
Can you get Daddy a towel?
Tom, Dad's here.
Do, be careful what you tell them. I think we should talk first. You're all over the place, and Tom's in a fragile state. I don't want him...
What?
I don't want him confused about what's going to happen to him.
Kids, I want to talk to you.
Kids, could you go into the kitchen till I call you? I want to talk to Dad first.
Has somebody died?
I don't want to go and sit somewhere else. Dad?
On you go. On you go. Go on, go on, go on. I'll be through in a minute. Go on, you too, Tom. And shut the door.
Right.
That boy not only sleepwalks, but now he counts everything in this desperate, obsessive, compulsive way.
You know what, you keep telling me that. When I last had him, I kept asking him to count the capers on his pizza, and he was like, what are you on about?
You think it's nothing?
Whatever it is, it's no biggie, I don't know, but you have to stop dragging him to a shrink every time he mentions a number. You can't count for toffee. Maybe you find numeracy disturbing.
But you just can't detonate their lives. And Harry is about to...
Oh, I don't care about Harry. I'm sorry, you've known the man 18 months. Let's not pretend he has anything to do with my children. They used to call him Sixth Sense because you were the only one that ever saw him.
He's their stepfather.
Oh, bull. All these relationships we inflict on them when we remarry and we dignify them with family status labels. He's a stranger, let's be honest.
You be honest. Putting yourself before the children's stability. Lucy's like a bonkers pinball, as it is.
Oh.
And academically completely wacko, by the way. So what the hell is she going to be like if she begins careering between us?
Oh, what? If she lives with me?
Lives with you where?
Wherever I am. Half the week with me. That's what's going to be happening. You're so loved up, you become couples crazy. You go on and on and on about you and Harry and Dominique and me and our third marriages. Like we weren't people but two sets of stabilisers. What is this stability? It's a myth.
No, it's real. It's what you had growing up and I didn't.
Hey, you know, this is all your stuff. But our children are not in danger, Mimi. They're doing fine. And most importantly, they are not you.
What's going on? I'm not sitting in there like an idiot.
I have left Dominique. We are getting a divorce.
Oh, my God.
I am moving back to near here so that you and Tom can spend half your time with me.
Oh, that's good news.
Mum and I haven't worked out the details, but there's nothing that complicated about it. I love you both. Mwah. I'll come over tomorrow. Good night.
Where will we go to for my birthday half with you?
We'll figure that out later. Mwah. Good night, Mimi.
So I'm a bonkers pinball. That's nice.
The Sixth Sense thing was her, Mum. I didn't get it.
You're a pea brain. I'm going upstairs... to not sleep.
Now, but leave a name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hey, Harry. It's late and I'm wide awake. Tonight was terrible. I can't wait to talk to you about it. Oh, Lord, here's Tom coming into the kitchen. Oh, little chap fast asleep and padding about. Oh, he's walking funny. Wonder if he's regular. Anxiety can make children constipated. Oh, now here's Lucy. I love you, Harry. Bye. Lucy, come over here.
I couldn't sleep. Or maybe the snoring from my insomnia woke me up.
Come here, Bert. Now, don't let's wake him up. Oh, what the hell was that?
Mum, I'm frightened.
Now, I want you to lead Tom very gently out of the back door. And here's my mobile.
Mum!
Don't argue. Go into the back garden. Pass me that soup ladle. Move! Good girl.
Come on, Tom. That's a good boy.
Someone's coming downstairs. Here goes. What the hell are you doing in my...
Ow!
You! Oh, my God! Harry! Oh, my God! What are you doing? What the hell? Are you all right?
Get off, you freaking lunatic! Let me sit down. Oh, my head.
I'll get some ice.
Get some whiskey.
I could have killed you.
I wanted to surprise you. Ow. I finished the play and I was about to come in earlier. Then I heard you and Joe and it sounded very intense and I... thought I'd just go up to bed. Your conversation about your children was none of my business.
Oh, don't start with that. You sound like him.
Who?
Bloody him.
Stay where you are. I've called the police.
Oh, hiya, Joe.
Oh.
Oh, hi, kids.
Were you the burglar, Harry?
Well...
No one saw you come in.
Joe, what are you doing still here?
Don't be like that. He could have saved your life.
But he didn't, though. Did you call the police?
No, I was bluffing.
So why were you out there?
I thought I'd sleep in the treehouse.
No, did you? That's ridiculous.
So I could be here when Tom woke up on his birthday.
That's not ridiculous. Listen.
It's okay.
The to and froing is all fine in theory, but it's just I've seen the reality, you know. How it can pan out with the go-betweening children.
No,
wandering between their houses on Christmas Day. The waddling children of the North London divorced, stuffed to the gills with two turkey dinners, like kindergarten foie gras. What?
It's past midnight. I'm 10. I want my cake.
Really? You want your birthday cake now? Lucy, get plates. Here we are. Light his candles, Joe.
Right.
Harry, I could have killed you.
No. It could have been worse. Like dying now. Hey, I finished the play.
Brilliant bunny, Mum.
Blow them in a one, I know.
And make a wish. Hooray!
Hey,
cut the cake now.
There's five of us. I'm going to cut five slices, but because the ears are bigger than the body slices, I'm going to add these sections on.
You're telling me this isn't OCD. He needs to talk to Pamela.
Unbelievable.
What?
Oh, for goodness sake, Tom, are you going to tell them?
I don't know what you're talking about. Harry, would you like two-thirds of an ear or a paw plus a bit of grass?
Oh, well, thank you.
Mum, he's just dividing things up equally. That's what he's been doing, so that you divide him up equally between Dad and you.
My God! My anxiety levels have robbed my children of a carefree life.
Mimi, he just doesn't want to worry you about him being unhappy.
That's so sweet. He was trying to suggest it rather than spell it out. Your son's amazing.
Oh, come on, honestly. It's not like he invented sign language for the deaf, and it was me that sussed it.
Okay, this is what I want to see. Children, I'm in place. I'll be living a walking distance from your schools and your bedtimes. The rest will get sorted. I will always be close, no matter what. Give me more of that buttercream paw, Tom. I'm a happy man.
What? My play? It isn't finished.
It is so. You said.
But you know my play is all about this guy's miserable efforts to pull his children away from his ex-wife's manipulations. I mean, it's not Strindberg. There are jokes.
I told them that.
But I spent months fiddling with the ending. You made it clear right now, in one sentence. I will always be close. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh.
I'm just going to make the father stay. This is thrilling. I have to start rewriting. Major reworking. My friend Jonathan's been telling me about this writer's retreat in New York State.
Harry!
Oh, my beautiful warrior. Forgive me.
I'm not a warrior. I'm codependent. In a healthy, married way.
Listen, the sooner I get this intense work done, the sooner I'll be back. So probably we'll do a New York premiere now. So, Tom and Lucy, a trip to New York sound good?
Yeah, sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, I need to sleep. Hey, good night, baby. Joe, thank you. Oh. That line you said, I will always be close.
But you won't be. Oh, never mind. I'm glad about your play. I am. I love you. I'm glad you're happy.
I'd like to dedicate the play to you, Joe.
Oh. What? To him?
Well, to you both. To you all.
You're so welcome. You're right there. Not too shaky after her frenzied attack.
Hardly. Thanks again. Good night.
Good night. No, I love Harry.
Do you?
Yeah, he's very charming. Who's Jonathan? I bet he's famous.
Franzen.
Oh, fancy that.
Oh, shut up! You know Tom was sleepwalking earlier. I think he's constipated, by the way. The walk. Strange.
Dad, he was only doing a zombie walk, like from the Undead movies you two watch.
Shh! Ah, yes, listen. Mimi, kids, we'll work it out. It's going to be great. Happy birthday, Tom. You'll see, Mimi. We'll find out what suits us.
Oh, please. Between us, we have five divorces, and we're not 40 yet. We are patently clueless about what suits us.
Actually, it's not really five divorces between you, because the two of you, like, share the first divorce between you, so four.
Shut up, pea brain.
Anyway, I was thinking we divide the time equally for go-betweening. It's going to be an eight-day week,
Tom.
Because seven doesn't divide in half.
Exactly.
So we do Wednesday to Saturday 1 week, and Wednesday to Sunday on the second week.
The Go-Betweenies was written by Marcella Evaristi. In episode 1 of The Go-Betweenies, Lucy was played by Phoebe Abbott, Tom, Finley Christie, Mimi, Sarah Alexander, Joe, David Tennant, and Harry was Stuart Milligan. The Go-Betweenies is directed by Marilyn Imrie, produced by Gordon Kennedy, and is an Absolutely production for BBC Radio 4.
And you can hear the next episode of The Go-Betweenies next week at the same time. Now, after yesterday's voting, we'll have an extended hour-long edition of The World at One this lunchtime, and then tonight at 11:30, Today in Parliament reports on the aftershocks being felt in Westminster. The programme also looks at the new political landscape in Scotland and assesses the health of the coalition. That's Today in Parliament, tonight at 11:30. Coming up, the Chinese iPad factory accused of illegal practices and mapping Britain's towpaths. You and Yours follows the news.